Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome again to Anointed and Appointed Word Ministry with Brother Norman Woodard. I am Brother Norman, and I'll be sharing an anointed and appointed word that will change, challenge, and charge your character to make an impact in this world for the kingdom of God and our Father in heaven. I'd like to send special thanks to Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield, who allows me to come on every week to share God's word before you. They have a program which comes on every Saturday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the name of their program is Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. They're also the assistant pastors at Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia, where their leaders are Archbishop Ruth W. Smith, who is also the co-founder, and their senior pastor is Bishop Kevin Jones. They have services every Sunday beginning at 9 a.m. with Sunday school, and worship service begins at 10 a.m. as Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia. They also have Bible studies every Wednesday. Every Wednesday at noon, Eastern Standard Time, you can call this number and listen to the Bible study live. They also have Bible studies held at their location. And also, Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, they have Bible studies. That's Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia. You can catch them on Facebook, YouTube, and their website is comingtothelight.org. That's comingtothelight.org. Well, I thank you once again for calling in. And before we get into the word, we're going to hear a song. Amen.
Father, fill us to full and overflow. Let praises rise.
From the inside of me.
Father, may you delight in the inside. Delight
in the inside.
In the inside of me.
Come fill my life. From the inside. From the inside.
Of me.
Let me on fire.
Father, set me on fire.
From the inside.
You to be glorified,
you to be lifted high.
you are right now, the altar is open. Confess it before him. I present my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, Father, which is my reasonable service. Now fill me, Father, right where I am. Fill me. Fill my mind. Fill my thoughts. There's none of me, and there's all of you.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless your name, Lord. You're wonderful, God. You're awesome. You're mighty. You're glorious. You're magnificent. There's nobody like you, God. You God all by yourself, Father. The true and the living God, the Holy One of Israel, the great I am, the Ancient of Days, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, Alpha and the Omega, God. Hallelujah. You're all seeing, all knowing, ever present. Glory to God. Fill my life, Lord, till all they see is you. Glorify your name, God. Hallelujah. You be glorified, God. I decrease that you may increase. None of me and all of you, God, that they will see and know that I've been in your presence. Hallelujah, God. Glory. Bless your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory. Is that your desire this morning? None of me and all of you, God. Fill my life till all they see is you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I thank you once again for calling in. Like to keep those in prayer who had bad weather these last couple of days. Actually, we had a tornado not far from us that did some significant damage. So we thank God for his protection. Amen. Just want to be mindful and keep those lifted up who had to endure tornadoes. Life changed in an instant. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Well, we're going to get into the word, amen? We're going to be coming out of the book of Genesis. Genesis, the 17th chapter. Genesis, the 17th chapter. Before we start, I just want to touch on that song. It's very personal to me because he touched on one of my favorite scriptures. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. None of me and all of you, God. And verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. That perfect will of God. There's a perfect will that God has for every life. And I encourage everyone to seek that perfect will that God has for your life. None of me and all of you, God. Hallelujah. Just wanted to touch that. Genesis, the 17th chapter, beginning at verse 1. And it reads, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant before, thou shalt keep my covenant therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man-child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations. He that is born in the house or brought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed, he that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man-child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. The title of the message this morning is The Perfect Pledge. The Perfect Pledge. Let us pray. Father, thank you once again for allowing us to come before you to enter into your presence, Father, to sit at your feet, to rest on your lap, to lay on your bosom, Father, to hear your heartbeat, to receive what you would have to say to us this morning, to give us instruction, Father, to give us direction, to teach us, Father, to show us who you are and who we are in you, to equip us, to prepare us, to make us ready to go into this world and do what you called us to do. Let praises rise on the inside of us, God, that you may be glorified, that you may be lifted on high, God, because all we want is for you to be glorified. All we want is for you to be lifted on high, God. So fill us, Father. Fill our lives till all they see is you, Father. None of us. And all of you. We thank you and we praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. The perfect pledge. The word pledge means the state of being held as a security or guarantee. So God was making a guarantee to Abel. Pledge means something given as security for the performance of an act. And what did he give? He gave his word. For God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. If he said it, it shall come to pass. Pledge is a binding promise or agreement to do or forbear, a contract. That's what he was making with Abel, a contract. Pledge means to take care of. This is what he was telling Abram. He said, if you live before me, if you walk before me, and be thou perfect, this is what I will do for you. I will take care of you. But not only will I take care of you, but I will take care of your seed and their seed for generations to come. God made a covenant with Abram. And it's interesting because the covenant was with Abram. Then he changed his name to Abraham. So that sealed the deal, meaning that the contract cannot be broken because this is Almighty God making this contract. Not a man. Let God be true, but every man be a liar. See, we can count on God to do what he said he was going to do. Man may fail you. Man may let you down. Man may tear that contract up. But God, his word establishes. His word seals the deal. His word never changes. It's written in stone. The word covenant. Let's look at this passage. We want to read it in the Amplified Bible. The first three verses. Genesis 17, first verse, it says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the Almighty God. Walk and live habitually before me and be perfect. Be blameless, wholehearted, complete. And I will make my covenant a solemn pledge between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abel fell on his face. Glory to God. Imagine. God himself approaching you, visiting you, and making this contract, this covenant. And see, Abram fell to his face. So it could have been conviction, because this was, of course, after he had slept with Hagar and they had a son named Ishmael. Because God had already promised him that he would give him a son. This was about 20, 25 years before this encounter. God told Abram, I will give you generations. The number of the sand, the number of the stars. And so Abraham asked him, how can this be? And I don't have a son. But God told him, I will give you a son. But he got impatient. And so he and his wife, Sarah, came up with a plan. To have them sleep with her servant, her slave, Hagar. To be a midwife, so to speak. And so Ishmael was born. So God had already promised him. But this time, he approached him and made a covenant with him. said he was 99 years old. How long have you been waiting? When did God tell you what he was going to do for you? So in his sinful state, being Abram, he made this covenant with him. So it says that Abram was so overwhelmed that he fell to his face. And then after he made the covenant, the solemn pledge, the contract with Abram, he changed his thing. He said, now you shall no longer be called Abram. Now you shall be called Abraham, because you are the father of many nations. Because of your faith, your seed will be blessed, and their seed after them, from generations to come. The perfect pledge. The perfect pledge. So let's look at this word, perfect. In verse 1 in the Amplified Bible, it reads, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the Almighty God. Walk and live habitually. Key word, live habitually. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. Acceptable unto me, which is a reasonable service. But it says, and be perfect. And in the Amplified, in parentheses, it has three words for the word perfect: blameless, wholehearted, and complete. Blameless. Blameless means not responsible for anything bad. Innocent of wrongdoing. Free. Free from or not deserving blame means guiltless. Let's go to Psalm. Psalm 15, chapter, verse 1. And it reads, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned. But he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Psalm 18, starting at verse 20, talking about blameless, being blameless. Verse 20 reads, the Lord rewardeth me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands has he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful, thou wouldst show thyself merciful. With an upright man, thou wouldst show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wouldst show thyself pure. And with the froward, thou wouldst show thyself froward, being blameless, innocent of wrongdoing. Wholehearted means completely and sincerely devoted, determined, and enthusiastic. Marked by complete, earnest commitment, free from all reserve or hesitation. That's what wholehearted means. Psalms 9, verse 1 and 2. Reads, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. Psalm 119, verses 34. And 69. And it reads, give me an understanding, and I shall keep thy law. I shall observe it with my whole heart. Verse 69 reads, the proud have forged a lie against me. Anybody ever been lied on? But I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart, to be wholehearted. The next word is complete. Complete means to fully carry out, thorough, total, absolute, brought to an end, concluded. Complete means to be characterized by the occurrence of a stage between the most immature stages and the adult. I want to read that one again. Characterized by the occurrence of a stage between the multi-immature stages and the adult, to bring to an end, and especially into a perfect state. Complete means to make whole or perfect, to mark the end of, fulfill, to carry out or execute. That's what complete means. So these three words, blameless, wholehearted, and complete, describes the word perfect. We have been commanded to be perfect. We have been commanded to be perfect. We're talking about the perfect pledge. A lot of people have said, I'm not perfect, or Nobody's perfect, or only Jesus was perfect. But when they say that, most of the time they're using the word perfect as being without sin or sinless. So actually they're saying, I'm not without sin. I'm not sinless. Nobody's without sin. Nobody is sinless. Only Jesus was without sin, and only Jesus was sinless. See, I can agree with those. But when someone says, I'm not perfect, or nobody's perfect, or only Jesus was perfect, let's look at that. St. Matthew's 5th chapter. And these are the words of Jesus himself, the sinless one. St. Matthew 5th chapter, beginning at verse 43. And it reads, ye have heard it have been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Bless them that curse you. Don't ever cuss and fight. Well, he cussed me first. She cussed me first. Okay. But I say unto you, love your enemies and bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Who are you praying for? Who are you praying for? That ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? See, this word publican. Publican was, they were tax gatherers. And they were despised by the Jews. So any reference to being less than this class of publicans was the lowest thing that could be said of anyone religious. Because they were classed with sinners. Publicans were classed with sinners. But then after this, it says that many were baptized, meaning that many repented and were baptized. So I'm going to read verse 46 again. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? He put them in the same category of the publicans. Those who they despise. Those who they can't stand. And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? But verse 48 says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Perfect. Let's look at that word, perfect. I want to read verse 48 in the Amplified Bible. St. Matthew 5, verse 48. I'm going to read it in the Amplified Bible. And it reads, "You, therefore, must be perfect, growing into complete maturity of godliness in mind and character." Did you hear that? That's the definition of perfect. Growing into complete maturity of godliness in mind and character, having reached the proper height of virtue and integrity, as your heavenly Father is perfect. So that's what he meant when he said, "Be ye perfect." Perfect means to carry out thoroughly. This is the Webster's dictionary. This is the definition of the word perfect: to carry out thoroughly, being entirely without fault or defect, flawless. Now we've heard people say, "He's flawless," or "She's flawless." But what they're saying is that person is perfect. Perfect means faithfully reproducing the original. I love that one. Be ye perfect. Faithfully reproduce the original. Who's the original? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. He's the original. And on top of that, he sits a prototype. His son, Jesus. He sent us the example, the blueprint, faithfully reproducing the original, to be pure, total, absolute, lacking in no essential detail, complete. I love this next definition of the word perfect. It's only one word: mature. Mature. That's what perfect means. So, be ye therefore mature, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is mature. Let's look at verse 48 in the Message translation. Say Matthew 5, verse 48 in the Message translation. And it reads, in a word, what I'm saying is, grow up. This is Jesus speaking. In a word, what I'm saying is, grow up. You're kingdom subjects. Now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously toward others the way God lives toward you. That's what being perfect is. To be mature. Jesus is saying, just grow up. The perfect pledge. So it's time to grow up. 1 Corinthians. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 13th chapter. It's time to grow up. 1 Corinthians 13 chapter, starting at verse 8. And I'm going to read it in the Amplified Bible. First Corinthians 13, verse 8 in the Amplified Bible. And it reads, love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. As for prophecy, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. It will lose its value and supersede it by truth. For our knowledge is fragmentary, incomplete, and imperfect. For our knowledge is fragmentary. Fragmentary means incomplete or imperfect. And our prophecy, our teaching is fragmentary, incomplete, and imperfect. Verse 10 says, but when the complete and perfect total comes, when the complete and perfect total comes, the incomplete and imperfect will vanish away, become antiquated, void, or superseded. Verse 11 says, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. Now that I have become a man, now that I'm mature, now that I've grown up, I am done with childish ways and have put them aside. For we are looking in the mirror that gives only a dim, blurred reflection of reality as in the riddle or enigma. But then, when perfection comes, we shall see we in reality and face to face. Now I know in part, now I know in part, imperfectly. But then I shall know and understand fully and clearly, even in the same manner as I have been fully and clearly known and understood by God. And so faith, hope, love abide. Faith, conviction, and belief respecting man's relation to God and divine things. Hope is joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. And love is true affection for God and man, growing out of God's love for and in us. These three, but the greatest of these is love. It's time to grow up. Perfect does not mean sinless. Only Jesus was sinless because of God's sinless seed. Jesus wasn't born into sin. David said, I was born into sin and shaping in iniquity because of the seed of Adam. Everybody except Jesus has been born into sin. That's why the Bible says, he who says that he is without sin is a liar. But the word perfect is not equated with sinless or being without sin. Perfect means to be mature, to grow up, to be complete. Lacking nothing. Let's go to St. Luke. St. Luke, chapter 6, verse 40. And it reads, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. So this is not saying be perfect. The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. To be above his master is more than enough. To be as his master is enough. And to be less than his master is not enough. So he's saying be perfect. Be complete. Be total. Lacking in no essential detail. 1 John 4. Let's go to 1 John 4. Verse 17 and 18. And it reads, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love, complete love, love that is carried out thoroughly, love that is faithfully reproducing the original, the agape love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Perfect. When you look at the word perfect, all of the times that the word perfect is used in the Bible, not one time is it equated with being sinless. Not one time is it equated with having no sin. Every time the word perfect is used, it speaks of being whole, being complete, being full, being absolute, lacking in no essential detail. It's time to grow up. The perfect pledge. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for understanding. Thank you for revelation. Now help us, Father, to be perfect. Help us to be blameless. Help us to be wholehearted. Help us to be complete. Help us to carry out your love thoroughly, lacking in no essential detail, to be mature. We thank you and we praise you for who you are. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Well, thank you once again for calling in Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries with Brother Norman Woodard. God bless you. Go and be thou perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Love you. Talk to you next week.